What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 135. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about levosimendan and sepsis. Answer the drug information question, should catecholamines be started before intubating a patient with severe pulmonary hypertension, and share a resource about how to become a peer reviewer for a medical journal. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode135. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Critical Care Pharmacy Academy Beta Program is entering its third month. I look forward to opening the Academy up to everyone in December 2016. To sign up to be notified immediately when the Academy opens, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The article I'd like to discuss on this episode is titled Levosimendan for the Prevention of Acute Organ Dysfunction in Sepsis. The lead author is Anthony C. Gordon, and this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, October 2016. Levosimendan is a calcium sensitizer used internationally for acute decompensated heart failure. It enhances myocardial contractility without increasing oxygen requirements and causes coronary and systemic vasodilation. In a small 2015 meta-analysis, levosimendan demonstrated reduced mortality in septic shock patients when compared to dobutamine. The authors of this study sought to determine whether the addition of levosimendan to standard care affected outcomes in patients with sepsis. In this double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial, patients received placebo or levosimendan at a dose of 0.05 to 0.2 mics per kilo per minute for 24 hours. The primary outcome was the mean daily sequential organ failure assessment, or SOFA score, in the intensive care unit up to day 28. Secondary outcomes were 28-day mortality, time to weaning from mechanical ventilation, and adverse events. 516 patients were enrolled and divided into the placebo and levosimendan groups. There was no significant difference in mean SOFA score between the levosimendan and placebo groups. Likewise, mortality at 28 days did not differ between groups. In the subset of patients that required mechanical ventilation at baseline, those in the levosimendan group were significantly less likely versus placebo to be successfully weaned from mechanical ventilation over the period of 28 days, with a hazard ratio of 0.77. The absolute incidence of supraventricular tachyarrhythmia was 2.7% higher in the levosimendan group. This resulted in a number needed to harm of 37. The authors concluded the addition of levosimendan to standard treatment in adults with sepsis was not associated with less severe organ dysfunction or lower mortality. Levosimendan was associated with a lower likelihood of successful weaning from mechanical ventilation and a higher risk of supraventricular tachyarrhythmia. In this study, levosimendan was started on average 15 hours after sepsis was diagnosed. I'm not clear why it was employed versus placebo in patients with sepsis rather than compared to dobutamine in a subset of septic shock patients likely to benefit. Although this was not a positive study, there is still the possibility that a subset of septic patients might still be proven to benefit from levosimendan therapy. The drug information question for this episode is, should catecholamines be started before intubating a patient with severe pulmonary hypertension? My answer is yes. Intubating a patient with severe pulmonary hypertension carries a high risk of losing right ventricular contraction and cardiovascular collapse. For this reason, every attempt should be made to avoid intubation. A sedative with minimal effect on cardiac function, such as etomidate, should be chosen, and catecholamines such as dobutamine or norepinephrine should be started in advance of intubation. And the resource for this episode is from the Wiley Online Library, and You can find the link in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode135. Now, this resource at the Wiley Online Library lists different ways that you can become a reviewer for a peer-reviewed journal. They advise there's no one way to become a reviewer, but there are some common routes, and these include asking a colleague who already reviews for a journal to recommend you, networking with editors at professional conferences, becoming a member of a society and then networking with other members in your area, contacting journals directly to inquire if they are seeking new reviewers, seeking mentorship from senior colleagues, and working for senior researchers who may then delegate peer review duties to you. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use the link pharmacyjoe.com/shop to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.